Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. From the Dallas Morning News, let's bring on Mavericks reporter extraordinaire. It is Mike Curtis. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How's it going?
Great. Well, it's going really well, but I need to admit one thing to you, okay?
Uh-oh, here we go.
So, the story you have about Cooper Flagg being the best player in every gym he's been in, it's a phenomenal story.
Awesome. It's great.
If I'm kind of compliment sandwiching this thing, I did express outrage months ago when you put Dwight Powell as like the 29th best player in Mavericks history. And so I just needed you to know that I was infuriated by that. And I thought the rest of the list was really good.
You could have shot me a note, man.
I should have. You're right.
So my logic behind it was the longevity piece of it. Dwight's been there for a while. And I know he's revered by fans. Just for being loyal. So I thought that had some type of impact.
Probably on the fan base it did, just me personally. I only speak.
He was very offended.
Yeah. But you know what? I thought you nailed the top five spot on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was a really good story. I just needed to let you know that I did express outrage at the time.
I appreciate it, man.
All right. And like I told you, we have these open, honest conversations and we can move forward.
I didn't want to be talking behind your back. Now, I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to be. Do you think the optimal starting lineup to provide the right mix of offensive firepower and defense for the Mavericks would be Cooper Flagg, Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, and Derek Lively?
So it's really interesting, right? They tried both lineups in the preseason. The first two, you had D'Lo at the point. The second two, you had Cooper at the point and PJ there at the three, his natural position. I think when you have D'Lo there at the point, you get a little bit more spacing. We know this team is going to be dependent upon its three-point shooters, especially since they're so long. So Klay Thompson and guys like D'Lo, Max Christie, PJ for that matter, they're going to have to like knock down those open shots when they get them. And when you have PJ there on the wing out with Cooper at the point, it gives you a little bit more defensive versatility, but what they have in defense, they kind of lack in offense. And Jason Kidd kind of alluded to it after the first preseason game with that lineup. He said there are some times where the offense can get stagnant a little bit because they have so many kind of mismatches. They're not really sure what they want to do. But I think it's going to be a work in progress. I think we're going to see a lot of different starting lineups. So I wouldn't get married to whatever one comes out today.
Okay. Is it okay then on the flip side of that I'm terrified of the defensive prowess of D'Angelo Russell and Klay Thompson as your backcourt?
Given their history, we know Klay's not in his prime anymore, but there are times where he was put on the best perimeter defender at times throughout last season. I think that he still has the ability to defend. Now, he's not going to be Herb Jones,
yeah,
for example. He's not going to be like a Cooper. I think they want Cooper to be the best perimeter defender when he's at his prime, but I don't think you're going to get that. But what you lack in that area, you got to put up points.
Yeah.
They got a lot of threes up during the preseason, but they weren't able to make any of them. So you got to offset some of that with offense.
The viability of a healthy Derek Lively and a full season of him. What are your feelings on how he looks, what he physically did this offseason, and his approach this year?
I think he looks pretty good. Nice. And Daniel Gafford said it media day. He thinks D-Live is going to have a breakout season. We saw him attempt one three-pointer in the second home game of preseason. And obviously it went a little left, but I think we're going to see him develop a little bit more offensively. We've seen he has the ability to get that jump hook going. He can do the reverse layup. He can finish with either hand. So I think we're going to see a lot of that. We might see him in a pick and roll with Cooper, and we know he excelled when Luka was orchestrating that last few seasons. But I think he's going to take a jump, and I think they're going to monitor how much they put the wear and tear on him because they want him to be healthy. I think that's why they prioritized him in the preseason. They only played him 7 minutes in that third game, and everybody was wondering why. I mean, you've seen what you need to see out of D-Live. You don't need to risk having him get hurt for an extended amount of time, especially when Daniel Gafford is already dealing with the ankle.
Probably you think no Gafford tonight?
Usually when a guy is doubtful, it's going to take a lot of, I want to say, maintenance or recovery for them to be ready in time for a game. So I wouldn't count on it, but you never know in this league.
Now, I know they're not top of mind for a lot of Mavericks fans, but we were talking about earlier Max Christie, Najee Marshall, Caleb Martin, and like how important their development is as players and maybe as complete players this season. Do you kind of agree with that idea? And how does that happen this year?
Yeah, I do. And I think the one that's most ready of those three is Najee Marshall. And he showed what he was able to do throughout all the injuries last season. You could bring him off the bench. You could start him. You could put the ball in his hands. I'm pretty sure he wished his three-point shooting was a little bit better last year. But
right.
That's something he worked on in the summer this year. And I think he looked really good in the preseason. We saw he's able to put the ball on the floor, drive to the basket, get out in transition. He provides a defensive toughness that they need, especially in that second unit. Because you don't want any drop-off from the first unit to the second unit. So I think Najee's best equipped to get a lot of those minutes early off the bench. Max Christie is another guy. And his shot, for him to be successful this year, I think that confidence with his three-point shot is going to have to be there. Because they don't need any drop-off from Klay Thompson to Max Christie in terms of perimeter shooting. So. And then Caleb Martin, that's another big one. Mm-hmm. We're going to see what he's able to do if he's able to play tonight. We haven't seen him much. Well, we haven't seen him at all in the preseason. So I'm curious to see how much of his game he's been working on in the offseason.
I asked Kid about this a little bit yesterday. I'm kind of curious on your thoughts about the rest of the league. How much longer are the Mavericks than most other teams in this league?
Yeah, in terms of size?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at you watched the game last night between OKC and Houston, there are a lot of big teams out there.
Yeah.
Houston is starting a lineup with Amen Thompson, Kevin Durant, who's 7 feet at shooting guard, Jabari Walker, Shingun, and Steven Adams.
Oh, dang!
Now that's really a lot of size. And then when you look at San Antonio, they got Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
They got Luke Kornet now, and the chemistry they had in the preseason, that's going to be interesting to see how it develops over time. But I think a lot of teams are trending towards playing big. I'm not really sure who the originator is of that. You could probably credit Cleveland with Evan Mobley and
Jared Allen.
Yeah, so a lot of teams are shifting towards the traditional style of playing big, but I feel like you got to have one of those bigs be able to stretch the floor and shoot. So that's going to be really important for the Mavericks. And Anthony Davis's three-point shot is going to have to be important if he's going to be there at the four.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I know there's a lot of feeling, a lot of excitement about Cooper Flagg, but P.J. Washington's role is pretty pivotal then because of his, you know, Swiss Army knife ability and his length and size too.
Yeah, you saw how he was able to take advantage of a lot of matchups last year before the AD trade playing at the four because he was so much faster than a lot of fours out there. I think the biggest thing for him is can he actually facilitate? Can he put the ball on the floor, initiate offense? Because they're doing this, they have this offense where they want anyone to be able to get the rebound and push it up the floor and then make decisions. And it's not going to be, hey, Cooper Flagg is a point guard. Jason Kidd said he's going to be the point forward, but yeah. I think they want everyone to have the ability to make decisions. It's going to be a by committee approach when it comes to replacing a guy like Kyrie Irving.
Now, when Corey talks about the excitement for Cooper Flagg, I'm trying really hard to lead the way on that. Me and my wife went up to New Jersey for the East Regionals, and then we went to San Antonio for the Final Four, and I still haven't really gotten over Duke's loss to Houston. Do you think that's a healthy way for me to act as a human?
Oh, man.
I think since Cooper isn't in college anymore, I think enough time has passed for
okay.
you. Kind of get excited about the Mavericks.
Okay. I think that's fair. Have you or anybody else asked Cooper, because I know what a competitor he is, about lingering feelings about that loss? Like, I know he's moved on, but he'd won titles at every level he was at before that.
Yeah. I don't think he's been asked during the preseason. I think once he talked about it, I remember over the summer, and there was an article, I believe, in Sports Illustrated. Hope I'm not getting that wrong, where he doesn't regret the shot that he took at the end of that game. He knows that was the play that was drawn up. It was drawn for him to take it. And he's of a mindset where he did the best he could and he's moving on to it. And then I think actually the other day, it's kind of like he was explaining to us the mindset that he has to have. And this was explained to him by his veteran teammates. Like, you can't linger after a game. You press for it, because you don't have much time. You have the game plan, you prep for that team, whether you win or lose, you have to have a quick memory, but you have to forget it really quick because you got to move on to the next team. So I think that's the approach that he's taking, and you can tell that he's benefiting from having these veteran teammates.
Now, by the way, we're talking to Mike Curtis right here on The Fan. I really would advise everyone, if you get the opportunity.
Before the game.
Yeah, the article is Cooper Flagg has been the best player in every gym so far. Why should the NBA be any different? It spans multiple states, lots of different people, lots of different levels. It is a really, really good story, sir.
Hey.
Thank you. I appreciate that, y'all.
Mike, this morning, Chuck Cooperstein was on with our morning show, Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton, sometimes Aiden show. And he said that this team is the biggest mystery in the NBA. Do you agree with that assertion?
I agree, because there are a lot of more questions than there are answers. And the questions primarily lie in their health. Like, we don't know what this team is going to look like and when it's going to get healthy, if they get healthy. There's no guarantee that they'll get healthy. Kyrie Irving obviously sprained his ACL March 3rd. He doesn't have a timetable to return, but the message they wanted to get out on media day is that he's on schedule and not ahead of schedule. So,
okay. Cause that's kind of what he had said, right?
Yeah.
Kyrie, it kind of felt like Kyrie was like, yeah, I might be ahead of schedule a little bit before.
I don't recall him saying that, but if it's out there, I'm pretty sure Nico Harrison mentioned it during a Summer League interview with NBA TV, if I'm not mistaken. And I think we have that on our site, too. So that may have been where the early indication came from. But as of media day, they wanted to put a pause on any high expectations that he'd be back pretty soon.
Hey, chill out on that.
if you need a headline suggestion, hopefully it won't come to this, but if the Mavericks run into injury problems, would you consider the headline, what the health?
what the hell?
Yeah.
I might have to pass that on to our producer.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Now, you talked about the mysteries of it, and on the kind of gambling front, they've got Cooper Statline projected for the year at 18.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. I know, like you said, there is a lot of mystery with this team. That is a stout stat line. Do you think that is achievable for Cooper as a rookie?
I definitely think it's going to be attainable because he's going to get the opportunity, especially if they put him at point guard, because he's going to literally be all over the floor. And although he has two bigs in AD Lively, three bigs, AD Lively and Daniel Gafford, if he's able to play pretty soon, like, he'll be able to grab the rebound, initiate the offense, play defense. We saw the first play of his first preseason game. He came over from the weak side and got that block, which led to a transition opportunity, and AD got a lob. I think that's where he's going to make his biggest impact defensively, getting in front of balls, getting deflections. And if they're able to get out and run, this team can be really fun to watch. So I definitely think stat line is attainable.
Now, the last question I had for you, we were talking about, you know, the NBA opened up last night. Obviously, Oklahoma City and Houston, double overtime. Is Houston at the top of your list of threats to Oklahoma City across the entire league? And who all do you think is the most viable challengers to knock off the Thunder?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Or this year.
Yeah, it's interesting that they were at the top of my list before the Fred VanVleet injury.
Yeah.
I just think that's a really big blow because he's a guy who can stretch the floor. And, like, having Amen Thompson out there at point is great for defensive versatility. But when it comes to shooting, you want a guy, a veteran guy, who's won a championship and has the ability to knock that shot down. But I like everything that Houston has done. I'm just curious if they'll make any moves before the season is over to kind of address that point guard situation.
Yeah.
Another team that I like is Denver. I really like to pick up a former Mav, Tim Hardaway Jr. They got Bruce Brown. They also got Cam Johnson from the Nets. So you add in that some of that depth to what you already have with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, Christian Braun and those guys. I think they have a really good chance to challenge the Thunder. But also, if this Mavs team is healthy, like, we know their track record against Oklahoma City. They have a lot of good success against that team. They have their number, and especially P.J. Washington, who wakes up for that matchup.
He does.
I appreciate that you put that nicely. We own the Oklahoma City Thunder. Man, Mike, thank you so much. You're always a wealth of information. We appreciate your time, as always.
Yeah, no problem, fellas. Enjoy the opener.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Mike Curtis right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up next, we will hear from Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer. But you know what? We also need to start scouting those Broncos next on The Fan.
Knicks will take it himself on first and 10. Blocked by Bowles. Touchdown, Denver! The Broncos have their first lead today!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to hear from Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer in just a little bit. In the meantime, it's time to scout those Broncos, and I know a lot of people are still caught up, myself included, with the almost miraculous comeback that they had against the Giants. And
you mean almost miraculous? That was pretty miraculous.
Yeah, I just didn't want anybody bent out of shape if they're like, miracles don't happen and blah, blah, blah. But you're right. It was just about miraculous.
Screw them, man. You've been out of shape over that.
Do you want to start with the offense or the defense?
Offense.
All right, let's start with the offense.
Let's now get offensive.
We can talk about the fourth quarter, but what you need to know is there's a reason that the Broncos fell into this gigantic hole. And Bo Nix, for as incredible as he was in the fourth quarter, he was not good in the first three quarters. You saw him missing targets left and right. So now that's partially on him, partially sometimes a product of pressure. You will always advise get more pressure. Quarterback would logically play worse. But he missed a lot of open targets in that game in the first three quarters.
Sean Payton continually gives him the freedom to throw, though. He has a lot of faith
for sure
that he'll figure it out at some point. I don't think Bo Nix coming out was, if I remember correctly, he was not the most, everybody was so excited about him. Sean Payton did fall in love with him and felt like they connected well and they could work on that.
It feels like it's been pretty darn positive.
Yes, absolutely it has. It's just felt like for me that Nix takes some time, either takes time to figure out an opponent with Sean Payton, or they come out firing. Like, right, he'll throw a bomb that you're like, uh-oh, game on. So I think that was one of those situations. Look, again, Kevin, the Giants do have a good up front group.
Yes.
And that helps them on many occasions, but they wore them down a little bit with the run, too. They got it going there.
And look, this is just something with Bo Nix early in his career. He has not been a super accurate passer compared to where the league has gone. Coach, ready to go? All right, Shotty's ready to go right here on The Fan.
Late? He was late? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. By all means, step out if it's like that. Snakes? You got snake problems?
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News.
You didn't say hi.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, sir. Good, sir. Monday we had talked about some guys starting the 21-day window. Yep. Are those guys still on target? Overshown, Revel, and those kinds of things?
Yep, and Cooper, maybe. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, looking forward to getting them back out there. I know they got big smiles on their faces.
We've talked a lot about the trades around here, and you've been a coordinator for a long time. Now in this seat that you're in, how much are you involved in those discussions, or are you like, hey, just let me know if you got something?
Yeah, I mean, my focus is on the Broncos and coaching the team, and there's always going to be speculation this time of year, and I get that. And I talk to Will, Jerry, and Steven every day, and they keep me up to date on things that potentially. But, yeah, right now my focus is on trying to go into Denver and find a way to beat a really, really good football team.
Clarence Hill, DLLS, how you doing, Coach?
Good changeup. I like that. Sorry, Todd.
Diggs here in protocol, where is he?
He's in the building, in protocol, just going through the necessary steps to try to get out of protocol.
Obviously, 3-3-1, up and down season. What do you do to get consistency? You haven't really won. The Cowboys haven't won in Denver since 1995. I'm clearly you're trying to string back-to-back good games together. What's the key?
Yeah, well, again, starts with today. Good meetings, good energy this morning. Talked to the guys a little bit. I guess it was more the offensive guys just out there at walkthrough. But, yeah, we got to, you know, sustaining success and putting together a streak. It's like we've done with the ball security and taking care of the football and, you know, four straight games without giving it away. Well, and three straight games, I guess, or four straight games creating a takeaway. You know, we have to do that with wins. You know, you got to put together streaks of wins. You can't win, lose, because what you're looking at when you do that is, you know, 8-9, 9-8, whatever, with 17 games. It's a little harder to do the math for me. But it starts with today and the prep for today. And I'm not surprised that, you know, this is a tough place to go and play. I mean, it's a good football team. They're well coached. They're talented. Sean's obviously a championship coach. And, you know, I've played a number of games there. And, shoot, Denver haunts the Schottenheimers in some regards. So I don't want to go back to whatever it was, whatever year it was bad. But, yeah, the old fumble and Jeremiah Castile. But, yeah, it's a tough place to play. The fans are made. But I told the guys today, I said, hey, I love going there because it's going to be loud and crazy, and that's what you want.
How do you prepare for the altitude?
Really, there's not much you can do. You know, we big thing for us is focusing on hydration. You know, hydration is real, and the trainers and those guys are all over it just with the things that you can do. And, you know, we're not a team that goes out there, you know, a couple days early or anything like that. You go out there, you play the game, and, you know, we'll have oxygen and stuff ready for those guys. It's a little different, but I don't want to overstate it. I just want the guys to do what they can control, which is hydrate.
Brian Totter, Troy, the ESPN. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Suck-ups over there.
Yeah, that's your thing. You should have patented it. You should have patented it. Yeah.
You were the first one to say it.
Anyway, when you go to Denver, obviously they have the incomplete thing. You go to Pittsburgh, they have Renegade that they play. Do you prepare your team for that stuff just to know what they're going to hear when you've not been to a place like that?
No, the Renegade thing, I laugh because if you're going to ask a question, you should say how they say it. The fans, they say, incomplete, you know. So I've heard it a lot in my life. But the Renegade thing, I laugh because we were playing, I was with the Jets coordinator, we were playing out there like week 15, and Braylon Edwards was on our team, and he knew it was coming. He's like, oh. You guys wait till you see this. And so we kind of looked up there. Next thing you know, all of our offensive players are watching. It's like Troy Polamalu, big hits, you know, Jack Lambert, Mel Blount. And it was kind of a distraction. So I did think about that. But no, not really. I mean, you know, we'll play, like sometimes you'll play certain songs and stuff. Like we play Renegade when we go back to Pittsburgh last year. We did it. Mike and those guys did it. But, you know, it's the process is the same, whether they're loud, whether they're not loud, which they'll be loud. The process is more about us and focusing on us.
With Overshown and the rehab that he's gone through, three torn ligaments, you don't see, there's guys who never come back from things like that. When you were in his office, what did you see from him in the spring, maybe on the field with Britt doing all that stuff?
Yeah, I just saw a guy that every day attacked the day, worked his butt off. And they were doing something simple last week with Britt, where they were doing like single leg jumps, man. And like this guy was, well, number one, the zero looked sweet, but like he had the headband around his neck. That looked cool. But honestly, the explosive power that he can generate and where he's at, you know, I just love the kid, man. His mindset, you know, he's never had a bad day. He's been dialed in on getting back. He's had a vision of what it's going to look like. And he's just that much closer to getting back out there and playing in games. But we'll see, you know, how he does today, and there'll be a ramp up period. But like I said, I'll keep saying we're getting close.
And then on the road, it's 40 points a game at home and 24 and a half on the road. How do you close that discrepancy? Would you put anything on that?
No, not really. I mean, execution. You know, sometimes it's third down. You know, Carolina was the run game. You know, different things. You know, that you have to look at, and we know what we're capable of. And again, I think it just, you know, it comes down to execution. And this big push for us this week is going to be about fundamentals and techniques. And that'll start today with.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, the padded work that we get in there today, and this is a very, very physical football team that we're getting ready to play. You know, Sean and that offense loved to run the football and obviously had a huge comeback win against the Giants. And on defense, they lead the league in sacks. You know, Nick Bonino and Cooper and those guys are outstanding edge rushers. And if Surtain's not the best corner in football, he's certainly in the discussion. So talented, so poised. You know, they're really good, but they're very physical, and that's why we need the pad to work today.
John Machado with The Athletic. With Kenny Clark and Kenneth Murray, what do you expect them to be able to do, if anything, today?
Yeah, they'll do some things. Again, I think, you know, we'll see how they feel. That's the other thing you do, you know, John. You kind of get out there and see how they feel. We'll be smart with Kenny. He's a little sore. Certainly some indie, but, you know, we'll see how they do. And I think K-9's feeling pretty good as well. So we'll get a feel. Mostly those guys get out there a little early, warm up, see how they feel, and then we'll adjust off of that.
And then with J.W. and Clowney, he talked to after the game about kind of his ramp-up process and getting back into football shape. And obviously he played well in that game. Just what have you seen from him since he's been in the building in terms of, you know, getting himself into that type of shape, not having a training camp?
Yeah, I've just seen the twitch that I remember. I felt that last week in practice watching him. Let's be honest, the guy didn't have a training camp. He didn't have an off-season program. And I think it's amazing that he's been here, 3 weeks, and he performed the way that he performed last week. It shows you he kept himself in shape. He looks great. But I noticed it, and I noticed it incrementally throughout the week of, you know, weeks where you're like, okay, yeah, it looks good. Oh, I like that. Okay, now that's what I remember seeing from him. So, and he performed well. And he needs to do it again this week for us to have a chance to win.
Nick Harris, 4-star Telegram. Going back to this being the time of year where trade discussions are talked about, with Will and his staff, what does their process look like around this time of year, and how does that help you be able to focus on Denver?
Yeah, they monitor everything. I mean, Will and I have touch point meetings basically every day in the AM and in the PM, and we just talk about different things. And it's not just the trade deadline, it's our roster. And obviously we got a lot of moving parts and a lot of people banged around, which everybody does this time of year. But the biggest thing that, you know, I pride myself on, and Will and Jerry and Steven are really this way, is the communication. You know, just because you're in the same building, you still have to work at the communication piece. And I've been in buildings where that doesn't happen. You know, I've been on teams, really good teams, where the head coach and the general manager never talked, you know. That was San Diego, a really good football team that basically got dismantled because of that. So we go out of our way to communicate, and we talk about different things. And, you know, they ask questions about the game plan, and I ask questions about, you know, potential personnel things. And but it's very normal. Like, you guys get excited about this time of year, but for us, it's just it's what we do, and it doesn't change. I know there's a deadline coming up a couple weeks away, but our process is very much the same.
With Javonte Williams, when he was free agent over the offseason, what about his time in Denver, and specifically last year, wasn't his best season in Denver? What did you guys see that made you guys want to target him free agent?
Yeah, I mean, just the suddenness, the ability to jump cut, the way he would run through contact, you know, yards after contact, to me is a big thing for running backs. I like big backs, you know, I really do. I think it's that type of league right now with how everything is, you know, played and physical. And but you do see a guy that creates explosives, you know, and I think why does he do that? Because he doesn't hesitate. And it jumped off the film, you know, and it wasn't, again, something that they felt like, but we knew of something that we wanted to add to our team.
Patrick.
I caught it. Yeah. I actually started to sing the rap song. Yeah. I got it. Yeah, yes, sir. Sir Mix-a-Lot. I like big backs. No, some people just got it. Some people just got it in the back. Yeah. Leave it to my man right there. Yeah, it's going to be hard to follow up with. Yeah. You get two questions.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Coach. So, good morning, Coach. Good
morning.
Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. I, too, like big backs. So, going to George Pickens really quickly, a lot of the conversation with him, rightfully so, has been the production that he has for you guys, and also locker room etiquette, joining the brotherhood, so forth and so on. The DPI component of it. So, I'm going to throw some stats at you from his DPI component, okay. And I'm just curious as far as your take. So, he's drawn 4 defensive pass interferences, that's second only to Jamar Chase. 116 yards gained that you guys have gained on his DPI penalties, first in the league. And 24 points scored on drives in which he's drawn a DPI. Would you talk about the reaction to those types of numbers and just the value that he brings, not only on the general stat sheet, but in plays like that where they impact the drives positively for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's a tremendous weapon because of his size. And, like, you know, I think maybe most fans that don't have a chance to be around him like we do, all of us in here, you don't realize how big and long he is and all that. again, he's a guy that if you're not combative with down the field, he's almost impossible to cover on those 50-50 throws. I think there's huge momentum swings for us when that happens. I know I feel that way. You know, you throw a go ball down there and he catches it, you're excited. But if he doesn't catch it and you see a flag, you're just as excited because it's normally going to be a PI penalty and not an illegal contact penalty. But what I mean, you know, that's who he is. But, you know, what I'm most excited about is how much fun he has playing the game. And, like, that's – I got home late last night, and I guess he was mic'd up, which I don't know who decided to have him mic'd up, Tad. That's interesting, but probably like mic'ing me up. But, I mean, just how much fun the guy has playing the game. Like, you know, and our guys feed off it. Our guys were very loose in that last game, and that's what we're trying to bring, you know, whether you're playing in Denver, whether you're playing last week at home against Washington. You know, this is – Sunday's your day to have fun and to not try too hard and to fly around and to play free and – I felt really good after pregame warmups because of how loose our team was and confident.
Second question to the guys that are coming back. Obviously, there's a lot of expectation on Overshown to try to hit the ground running as quickly as he can. But can you guys talk about just the balance of, you know, his expectations, his potential, but also just the grace of understanding the injury he's returning from?
Yeah, I don't put expectations on him that can come even remotely close to the expectations he has for himself. He's that type of young man. He lives his life that way. It's not just football. He lives his life as a dad like that. He does all that stuff. And I just want him to focus on his preparation. I want him to focus on having good practices, stacking good practices. Because when you get out there and play, man, he hasn't forgotten how to tackle. He hasn't forgotten how to rush. He hasn't forgotten how to cover. Those things are going to happen. But for us to say that you watch him today and some of the things that we do, he's going to look like he maybe did when he was starring at Texas or his first couple years with us when he was playing great, you know, it is a process. And so we're there to support him. And if he does have a, I'm not saying he's going to, a average or below average practice, there's no panic on my face. I'm great. I can't wait. I'm just happy to have you out here. And I think that's what these guys want from us.
Babe Loftberg, 105.3, the Fan, Cowboys Radio. Brian, so, you know, you get a game, Buffalo, Kansas City, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. They never take the field at the same time, but we bill it that way. With you going against Sean Payton, who's recognized as, you know, one of the great play callers, offensive minds, da-da-da, do you take that as a personal challenge going against the other guy, even though, again, you won't be calling plays against his defense per se?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, Sean is a guy I've spent a lot of time with. My relationship with Drew Brees is kind of how I first – well, actually, I got to know Sean when I was a coach at Syracuse. He was the coordinator with the Giants, and our relationship just kind of grew. And, you know, I think, you know, him signing Drew after Drew was with us in San Diego, we had a lot of conversations, and I've been around, you know, him quite a bit. But no, I'm not going to compare myself to Sean. I mean, look at what Sean's done in this league, and it's fun to go and compete against a really good football team. Now, I'm going to compete my ass off against Vance Joseph, who I think's one of the best, if not arguably the best defensive coordinator in the league, the way you look at that defense. I'm going to have fun doing that, but at the end of the day, it's the players, and it's going to be Tyler Guyton blocking, you know, Nick Bonita and George and CD going up against Surtain, and more than anything else, that's the battle.
Garrett
Podell, CBS Sports. Hey, Brian, how do you, I guess, game plan? How much does it affect when you face a pass rush where there's five guys with at least three sacks? Obviously, you mentioned Bonita and Cooper, but how kind of multifaceted their pass rush is from like a blocking perspective?
Yeah, I mean, well, they force your hand, Garrett. I mean, they, you know, there's certain fronts that they play where they know what you're going to do. They know you have to go, you know, five on five, and we do a good job around here of trying to game plan that stuff, but they make it difficult. I mean, it's a well-coordinated, well-orchestrated thing. What they do is they take the interior defensive linemen and they're playing attack. They're very different. They're 3-4, but they're very different than Carolina, who was kind of read and react. These guys are going north and south and trying to knock the interior linemen back into the quarterback's face so that Cooper and Nick can come off the edges. It's very well-coordinated, and it's extremely difficult. You know, I mean, Nick's got, what, 8 sacks, and they've got 34 or 35, I mean, in 7 games. I mean, that's outstanding. So it's going to be a hell of a challenge. And in the noise, it makes it even more. So we have to, you know, put together a great plan, but it won't be easy. And, you know, they do a nice job of trying to affect quarterbacks.
And you've talked about, you know, hunting for deep shots, really effective at that last week against Washington. Does that kind of change how much that's part of the plan and just the different types of passes you have with Dak going in against a defense that speeds guys up a little faster?
No, I don't think so, because, again, what they do, which is smart, I understand it, because of their pass rush, they like to play a lot of press man-to-man. And so, you know, we'll see what they do with Patrick, you know, who they match him on, if they match him at all. I think they will, but we'll see. But yeah, they wanna rush the passer, and so they wanna disrupt the timing. So I'm quite certain they're gonna be very comfortable. They do it against, you know, Cincinnati and teams like that that have elite weapons like we do, and so it'll be a fun matchup to watch.
Joe Hoyt, Dallas Morning News. Brian, Javonte's talked about the last couple years in Denver that he didn't feel like he was fully himself still after the ACL tear. When you guys are scouting guys, how much does a post ACL recovery timeline kind of factor in, especially with running backs?
Yeah, Joe, I think, you know, when you look at it, it's, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, it was like people thought their careers were over. And now we've all learned it's not. It does take time. Each position's a little bit different. Running backs and corners are maybe different than offensive linemen and things like that. But when we dove into the background of the young man, there was no question in our mind that he was going to be you know, back to normal. And we didn't know if that'd be day one, day two. I don't know if today he feels like he's back to normal. I hope there's even more room for improvement because he's really good. But I think that was the main thing for us, and the understanding of with these injuries now, it's like, yeah, there's a process and it's going to take, you know, 8, 9, 10 months sometimes. But, you know, we bet right.
One of his first runs was obviously one where he ran over Marshawn Lattimore. Running backs can be kind of momentum-based, I feel like. How important is it for him specifically to kind of have that tone-setting run like he did, and what does it do for others on the offense when he does have a run like that?
Yeah, they love it. You know, they love it. And I think, you know, what he pointed out to me, which was cool, was really the reason Marshawn was there is because George did a great job coming down and cracking the safety. So the safety was trying to fit, and George did a great job. We talk about, you know, everybody being a part of the running game. George did a great job of digging out the safety. And but it's a shot in the arm, man, when you run as physical as he does. And I just think it sends a message to, you know, DBs in this league. You know, they're put on – you know, the field to mostly cover, and it sends a message that, hey, if you see 33 coming at you, you better get down pretty low.
Scott.
Saadi's at The Athletic. Brian, just to go back to Sunday for a second, you mentioned winning the toss allowed you guys to kind of control which way, how you approach going into the sun. I was just curious, is there a preference? Could you expand on it? Do you want to be going into it in the third or fourth quarter? Would you rather have your quarterback looking into it as opposed to your receivers? How do you kind of make that decision?
Yeah, I'm not dodging the question. I'll answer it to a point. I'm not going to tell you our strategy because there's going to be teams that come in and they're like, oh, okay, well, let's listen to Shadi and hear what he says, and then we'll follow his deal. But it's something that we think about, you know, and again, I think, you know, we're aware of it, like we said. But there was also, you know, the fact that I felt really good about the week of practice on offense and the openers, and we felt good about the fact that, you know, we could go down and generate some points. And so that wasn't the only factor. But without giving away too much of our, you know, strategy of that, it's factored in, and we have meetings about it, and we talk about it, and we debate it. And it just so happened to work out this week for us.
And then looking ahead, we all kind of know Brandon Aubrey and the power that he's shown with his leg. With the thin air, how does that kind of alter, if at all, how you approach end-of-half situations and how much time is actually enough time to go down and score?
Yeah, again, I think we've shown, and I'm very confident in our ability to move the ball however far we need to get into range. There's different factors that you would take into account. You know, do you get the ball first? Do you not get the ball first? You know, maybe how many plays have you had, different things like that. But the only thing I expect to be a little different is that target line that we normally get of like the 50 might be at like the 40-ish, and I might have to be like, well, which one? You know, across the 50 or like behind the 50? And so I might have to get that clarified from Nick.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, when you were offensive coordinator and a consultant here, how much do you think helped you develop a good relationship with Dak?
You know, when I was a consultant, I didn't spend a whole lot of time with Dak, just out of respect for Kellen and Nuss, who I think are great coaches. Like, I didn't have a whole lot to add to Dak. He was getting great coaching anyways. And, of course, I was friendly. I mean, I'm a friendly guy. You know that. But when I became a coordinator, it obviously changed. And then I was going to be very involved along with Mike and Scott Tolzien and guys like that. And the more time you're around somebody, I think I was able to show probably my true personality to Dak and him, you know, show his true personality. Plus, we butted heads on things, you know, which is part of building relationships and things like that. And we still laugh and butt heads at times. Like I said, I called a bunch of shots last game. He's getting the shit knocked out of him. And he's like, really? But like, you know, so we can have those disagreements. But it was more so the 2 years as the coordinator, more so than the year as a consultant.
We good?
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Ryan Schottenheimer ending it with a curse word right
Nobody
here.
Heard that. Nobody heard that. Man. Why'd you point it out?
Okay, my bad. Never, never
He's
mind.
He's never said a bad word.
You heard
before.
No curse word. All right, I want to go back to the Broncos just for a second, or I guess kind of continue the conversation that we were having about the Broncos. I think the thing that's going to scare people about Bo Nix, or at least Cowboys fans, he's also averaging 25 yards a game rushing, and he showed in that fourth quarter against the Giants where he ran for 46 yards and two touchdowns, that can be problematic.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely can be problematic for you.
And I don't think any of us are prepared to be like, hey, we saw one game, we're good. We stopped the run, okay?
No. Even Jerry, like, I think that's part of what he was saying to you yesterday about, well, now's the time, not necessarily,
right,
to go throw everything out there because I have to see more. I have to see it consistently.
Now, one thing that did go the Cowboys' way, we talked the other day about Dre Greenlaw getting suspended. He challenged that suspension. Yesterday, the NFL upheld the suspension. So linebacker Dre Greenlaw for the Broncos will in fact be out of this game. It's an interesting note because that's one of the players that the Cowboys were trying to track down themselves and see if perhaps they could bring him into the fold. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We get to the level of concern. Next in The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.